Welcome to the Tripod. We break down the NRL every game, every week from a punter's perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, and this is the Round 22 recap. Coming to you 24 hours late. I'll explain exactly why in a moment, because it was a special weekend for the Tripod. And in terms of the bets, we went 1-1 on our two best bets. We did win a $3.15 mixed matchup. So if you're staking 100 on each, as an example, that's a nice profitable weekend for us. And in fact, as you see the profit roll across the bottom of the screen, we're at a flat even plus 600 for the season. So we have been rebuilding quite nicely, although we didn't have a winning week on best bets as we have the last few weeks. But we'll talk about all the games. I'm actually going to begin by explaining why the show is late and why the weekend was special, and talking about the most recent game of the round, which was Titans 44 upsetting the Manly Seagulls, who might be a dead team now, 24. And that was at Cbus. And I was lucky enough to be in attendance with some legends of the Tripod and some of the most important people for contributing towards what the Tripod is today that you guys enjoy. So we had Jeff and Dan. If you don't know these guys, they do so many tasks behind the scenes that you probably don't see, but they help us. They have helped Alex and I for years, and now Podonis and I, in delivering everything that we do around the group and around a lot of content. And these boys reached out to us off their own back in 2017 when we were having lots of issues with social media and Facebook shutting us down, blocking our accounts. And they've helped us ever since. So that's now 5 years. And I mean, I've bumped into Jeff a couple of times. He's based in North Queensland. Dan's in Coffs Harbour. I'd never met Dan in person before this weekend. We had the Podonis come up from Sydney. He's been thrown into the furnace this year. So, you know, and he's hung in there, especially through some tough times. He was able to come up. And Alexi wouldn't have a pod without the 6 years Alexi put in with me. Started the pod in 2015, and he was able to come along as well. So we've had a weekend at the Gold Coast. All our schedules are able to line up for one day. We're very fortunate, obviously, with the support we get from Top Sport. We told Tristan we're coming along. We're able to experience the Top Sport Lounge at Cbus, which was fantastic. So we had great seats for the game. And I will tell a bit of a story after we caught up at a sports bar and we watched Raiders Dragons, and that was a crazy finish that I'll get to. We had a bit of a plan, as you do when you're punters, where we pulled all our money together, and we always think it's more fun if we're all on the same bets and can cheer them on. So we hashed a bit of a convoluted plan that we're going to back a bunch of try scorers throughout the match. So we each picked a player and backed first try scorer, last try scorer in the first half, first second half try scorer, and last try scorer for the match. And basically, the idea was we'd split the funds. And sure enough, Podonis, straight off the bat, finds out that Tino has withdrawn himself from the game, the captain of the Titans, with his wife expecting their second child, and says, well, who's coming into the starting pack? And finds Jamin Jolliffe at 85-1 first try scorer. So straight away, we're on the board and we're cheering at Toby's expense in the Top Sport Lounge. We didn't hit the last try scorer in the first half. We did have Ruben Garrick, who did score, but then straight away in the second half, we hit Beau Fermor, which was a pick by Dan Lever. So you guys have seen some of these slips in the group. I don't want to make it sound like we had a crystal ball and we dead set, you know, picked each of these. We had five shots. So, you know, we had Fifita was in the mix, even Kieran Foran. So we had players that didn't score, but we had those particular intervals. But we got Jolliffe at 85-1. Then we hit Fermor at 22-1 to be the first try scorer in the second half, which he was. And then we had Beau Fermor again to be the last try scorer at 21. And if you saw the final play of this game, we had basically at the time two Manly players on the field that could score the last try for us, and one Titan being Fermor, and Manly forced a repeat set. And this was after Manly had been flogged all afternoon and one of the highest scoring games, and a game that closed the highest total of the year at 52.5. And Manly forced a repeat set. We go, all right, we've got one final set, minute to go here. Maybe we can get a try scorer with Garrick or Foran, and then Manly don't recover the dropout. We go, that's a bit of an anticlimax. Titans will kill the game off. They'll be happy with this win. Get to halfway. Kelly pokes his nose through the line, offloads Fermor. A little bit of a gap opens up. He accelerates through, goes around Garrick. So we were riding him home like we had everything on him on the last at Randwick. So that was unreal. We hit three of our intervals for those try scorers. So needless to say, it was a big night. And in fact, we took you guys along for the journey because we did put a poll in the group and a few posts. So I should explain that too. So we went to Star Casino last night in pretty jubilant mood. And the boys had thrown around the idea that if one of our try score bets hit, we should put it all on red or black at the casino and see what the group decides. We got a bit more conservative than that. So if you did see the video, and I know it was live streamed into the Tripod group, we did put a substantial amount on roulette on red, which was picked in the poll in the group. So thanks for nothing, everyone who voted for that. We definitely don't endorse betting that way, but luckily it was split between five of us and it was only a fraction of what we took off Toppy for that day. And if you did see the live video, you'll know it wasn't to be. And I think we got what we deserved and hopefully we learn our lesson from that. Because it's probably more fun to spread your money to give it a little bit more longevity. But nonetheless, a fantastic day catching up with all the guys involved in the pod. Awesome facilities. You know, we can't thank Toppy enough for hosting us. And they love working with the pod, and we've agreed pretty much next time we're going to the Top Sport Lounge, it's going to be with a bunch of members and followers. So look out for that opportunity. You know, it may be in 2023 where we can open up an opportunity to bring along a bunch of our community, and that's what it's all about. So that was an awesome day, and that's why we weren't able to bring you the show. In terms of the game itself, when Tino was ruled out before the game, if you've watched the Titans at all this year, you'll know he's been about the only one who has a dig. So you weren't expecting a lot from the Gold Coast, but with Manly, we didn't know what to expect. And this is, I will actually talk about the games briefly. And I do think we dropped the ball and we could have had a few more winners this weekend, because Manly was in a classic dream crusher spot where their season really ended last week. They had to beat Parramatta on that Friday night home game. And we all know what happened the week before, losing to the Roosters and the circumstances around it. But last chance was last week. When they didn't win that, what were they turning up to play for? Like a mathematical chance at the eight? They basically knew their season was over, and they played like a team that knew their season was over. While the Titans, you know, the Titans aren't very good, but things were going their way and they were playing with confidence, and the confidence was growing, and they could sense they were going to get their first win at home since March. And they were happy to throw the footy around, hence a lot of tries in this one and a big Titans win that probably stuffed up a lot of people's tipping. And in fact, I've got a clip from Tristan, who we got to meet in person, and that's another person. I had met Tristan, as much as I've spoken to him for the last 2 years and appreciated the support he's given the pod and everything he's done for us in the markets. Never met him in person until yesterday, so that was really cool. And he sent me a clip as well to give the bookie recap of the weekend as well as yesterday.
Hey, Tripod family, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. It was good to meet a few of the boys out there at Titans Stadium yesterday, where the Titans finally put in a good 80-minute performance and got a result, a big upset result actually, against Manly. When Tino pulled out an hour before the game, the market really shifted heavily towards Manly, but punters actually jumped into the plus when it got out to that big number. So punters were too good, but it was great to see the Titans put up a good effort and get off the bottom of the ladder, which was great to see. The weekend just gone, we saw some big goes. There was a few player movements early in the week too, and in the Storm Panthers game, when Dylan Edwards pulled out late, there was a good fall of money for Melbourne in that last hour, and they were way too good for Penrith in the end. The Rabbits against the Eels was actually the opposite, where Lachlan Ilias pulled out, and as a result, there was plenty of people all over the Eels on the back of that, but the Rabbitohs just continued their march towards the finals. Have been in really, really good form. In the other games, the Roosters were well backed and they covered the line very comfortably against the Cowboys. And then probably the ugly result of the round for us was the Broncos against the Knights, where that line moved and jumped up and hovered around that 18 to 20 point mark. And when Adam Reynolds couldn't convert that final try, it was a very ugly result on that 18 point number for us. So it was a very successful weekend for the punters and the boys. Obviously, backed a few try scorers, first try scorer, last try scorer, and Bo Firmer. I don't think he's been yelled at with that sort of jubilation for a long time. So that was a great result for the Titans. Good to meet the guys, and hope everyone had a winning weekend on the punt.
Yeah, that was one of those moments you dream about, to get an improbable try, the only one player on that team that could have done it for us, and to be all on it together and to be in the best seat in the house cheering it on. That was actually great fun. That's what it's all about, really. And yeah, we've probably touched on enough on that game. I think that actually dragged the Titans off the bottom of the ladder. So it was a very positive afternoon for the Gold Coast club that has struggled a lot. And, you know, without Tino, I said to people, I think because he wasn't there, they all pulled their finger out and thought, well, I better do some work instead of relying on him. So it's funny, their best performance of the year came without their best player. Let's rewind, because it was a fantastic performance on Thursday night. And this is what I'll talk about with missed opportunities, because we didn't have a bet on this game in Melbourne Storm beating the Panthers 16-0. Very different to Sunday. Only three tries, and the final try in this game was scored in about the 30th minute, and there was no points the final 50 minutes. But we should have been on the Storm in this one. This was an all-in spot for the Storm to cement their spot, to hold on to their spot in the top four, knowing that, you know, Parramatta and Souths were going to play the next day. No Jerome Hughes, but getting back Nick Meaney, getting back Olam, that shored up some of their outside back deficiencies. And in the end, Meaney played in the halves and Munster remained at fullback. And a guy I've spoken about that is so important to this side as well, Brandon Smith. It was his second game back now, but Storm are really rebuilding. This is a side that people were completely writing off and lost four in a row not too long ago in the season. But now they've won three on the bounce and you're thinking, well, they're going to add Felice Carfusi. They're going to add Jerome Hughes back into this team. Like, they very well could still make a grand final. And as we know in this competition, anything can happen. And Penrith's going to look very different come the finals. But another reason we should have bet on the Storm against Penrith, and, you know, this is how it goes with our when we're head-to-head, me and Padonis. He got one right that I would have liked later in the round that I'll talk about. But in this case, I did like the Storm and Padonis was more so in the Penrith. But I think the mistake that was made here, and I'm sure some other punters made this mistake too, because Penrith was a favourite, it's injured player theory. It's something we talk about a lot. And what we say is when a key player is out, people want to bet against that team because they think the team's really going to miss that player. But what you see is it's an overreaction to the marketplace, people overvaluing that player and everyone else in the team stepping up. And that's what you got last week, Cleary and Luai out. People wrote off Penrith, didn't think they could beat the Raiders. The team really rallied together, put in one of their best performances, beat the Raiders by 20 points in Canberra. But the second part of injured player theory is then people overreact and think, oh, they don't really need that player that's out. They're still fine. And not that anyone's saying they don't need Cleary, but everyone saw what Penrith did down in Canberra and thought, well, they'll be able to handle a Melbourne Storm side that's slightly under strength. But you get that relapse because everyone else in the team that's pulling that bit harder can't maintain that every week. You do miss that player. And so we saw Penrith come back down to earth. Now, in saying that, Penrith had their chances. Like, Penrith let in three tries in this match. Penrith could have scored three or four easily. There were that many where they were just held up over the line. So the story of this game was really the pure desperation that the Melbourne Storm played with. They were a brick wall in defence and they just wanted it more. And when Penrith got opportunities or, you know, it looked like they might have had a chance even to score on the wing, the Storm was scrambling and they deserved to win this game. Like, the stats were ridiculous in terms of territory and possession. It was all played, most of the game was played on the Storm try line. Storm scored a couple of long-range tries, like, and that's the other thing about defence. The Storm were letting nothing in, they were impenetrable, while the Panthers let in a pretty soft try to Brandon Smith. Like, as powerful as he is, you know, the Panthers in the finals aren't going to be letting any forward push them around and score a 45-metre long-range try. So this Penrith side just looked like they were out of options because they didn't have a Luai, a Cleary to throw it to break the game open, and the Storm side gave them nothing easy, and as we saw, won the game very comfortably. And the next game Friday was the first game we had a best bet, and this was a good winner and a bet that we had a bit of resistance against because we took the New Zealand Warriors, who got flogged and looked pitiful the last couple of weeks, against the Bulldogs side that we all know has been quite resurgent in the last couple of months. But we talk about this New Zealand team, they really are a different side at home and they were very much deserving winners. They won the game 42-18. It blew out late. At one stage, it was 18-all in the second half, but I feel like New Zealand was trying to give the game away. New Zealand led the game 18-6 at halftime. It did help that they took an intercept try off Burton, with Tenny Zalesniak running that back for sure. But New Zealand, yeah, definitely looked up for the game, and they really do still have a bit of talent and some quality forwards. And if they play somebody that doesn't overwhelm them with ability, and they're up for it. And that's the key with New Zealand. You've got to guess which games they're going to be up for. But in front of them, out smart, faithful, we thought they would be. And they had a strong lead at halftime. However, which cashed our bet because our bet was first half. So that was fine. But for Maltese and for the mixed matchup, we wanted New Zealand to go on with it. And in the second half, it looked like New Zealand was trying to give it away because Sean Johnson returned the favour through an intercept try to Adokar, knowing that Adokar was hunting those all day. Looked him in the eye, threw it to him. Reece Walsh spilled it on his own try line and handed a try to Kyle Flanagan. Suddenly it's 18-all, and we could all expect the Warriors would just give this one away. But to their credit, they rebounded. They gritted in there, and Sean Johnson ended up having the last laugh, scoring a try himself, having hand in a couple more, and the Warriors ran away with it, putting up 42, which was fantastic for the mixed matchup, which was Warriors to outscore South Sydney. and we had 42 on the board and we were $3.15 underdog. And the magic of the mixed matchup is that the Warriors and the Bunnies played each other a week ago and New Zealand never stood a chance and was nowhere near and lost by 30 or 40 points. When we pit them together in the mixed matchup, they're not actually playing each other. New Zealand had an easier opponent in the Bulldogs, and we thought South Sydney was going to meet more resistance in Parramatta, to be fair. But I'll talk about that game next. So we had a best bet on that next game Friday night, which the Rabbitohs won 26-0 over Parramatta. So the best bet lost because we took Parramatta plus six and copped a bit for this one too. And I got to take my hat off to everyone that said Rabbitohs own always run over them, always flog them. And I was saying, oh, I don't read that big into trends. You know, each time the Rabbitohs have smashed Parra, you know, there's different conditions, there's different players available. I like this Parramatta side right now. I believe they're really building towards the finals, and I think they're a side that can match it with any other high-quality team and can get them in an arm wrestle. So we took Parramatta. One thing I'll say in our favour, it counts for very little, because if you gave me the chance to bet on this game again, I wouldn't take the same bet, right? I wouldn't take Parramatta. I recognise that we were wrong. But we got plus six. The line closed as low as plus 1.5 in places. Now, I'm not saying that was all because of our prophetic tip. Part of it was Lachlan Ilias ruled out with a hamstring injury like game day. And when you lose your halfback, Hawkins came in. Not that Ilias is like super key, but you lose a key position player, it's going to shift the line probably through a key number. But either way, plus six is a great line. But a great line only gets you so far in punting. You've also got to try and pick the right sides. And remember last week, I really posed the question, who's the best team in the competition? And I threw three names out there in the top two that I said was Roosters and Rabbitohs. And I did have Cowboys right there as well, just beneath those. But yeah, I really felt like last week the best two teams in terms of how they're going in the competition were the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Sydney Roosters, funnily enough. And those two sides were really dominant in round 22. We'll move to the Roosters in a second. But we shouldn't have gone out in front of this Rabbitohs side. They're the real deal. They're really surging. I still think losing in Golden Point to the Sharks, it might cost them a top four spot, and that could cost them winning the comp, honestly. But who knows, because upsets can still occur. This side is so deadly with the footy, and they were a bit like Melbourne on Thursday night. They were very hard to score against. Main Parramatta had no ball first half and were probably happy. I think the halftime score was only 14-0. A couple of missed conversions, a couple of missed opportunities. Parra was probably lucky to be within 14. It flattered them. They looked off the pace from the get-go. Rabbitohs were rolling through the metres a lot easier. Parramatta, nothing was coming easy. And I should mention as well, we've got this tip wrong. And I think we dropped the ball because it was injured player theory again. Last week, we were correct in taking Parra against Manly when not many people did. And we said we think they can compensate for missing Mitchell Moses and other players can step up. And you saw big games from Gutho, Dylan Brown, right? And we got that right. But the next week, some people make the mistake of thinking, oh, well, they don't need Mitchell Moses. And we're guilty of that because we rated Parramatta too high. And then what happened was, similar to Penrith, you get the drop off the week later when the marketplace is giving that team more respect. So I think, yeah, if we could have round 22 again, then we could have done better. But that's what this show is about as well, is recognising our mistakes. And it's annoying because it's principles that we preach. But obviously there's lots of factors that go into a handicap, and we still had our reasons for liking Parramatta. We've got that one totally wrong. As I say, Rabbitohs are looking scary. Parramatta's going to need to rebuild. In retrospect, Rabbitohs came off a very easy game, like a park run against New Zealand, and looked fresh in this one, where Parramatta, you could argue, probably had to go all in, really got up for the Penrith game, which they won, really got up for the Manly game at Four Pines, which they won, and just didn't have the juice in this one. And then talking about a side that's really firing, I mentioned South Sydney. Well, the other one is the Sydney Roosters, who won an emotional game. And I should just say as well, because the news has broken since like we've last recorded, but our thoughts are with the family and friends of Paul Green. That's just devastating news and shocking news, and it's so sad. And you know, if anyone is watching this and has ever, you know, struggled with their mental health or felt depressed, you know, you've got to know that there's people out there that care about you and will always take the time to talk to you. So never doubt that, and always reach out and speak to people if you're ever in need, because it just breaks my heart to see a tragedy like this and the outpouring of emotion and in the game, how many people cared about Paul Green. And you kind of think, if he knew how many people cared, you know, you just kind of look at some people from the outside and you see someone who's, you know, at the top of his profession, he's won a competition, recent years. He's made a grand final recent years. He's in the conversation to be, you know, to get other coaching roles. You think the people that are at the top of their profession and have achieved so much would never have problems, but it just goes to show that it can strike anybody. So you got to look out for your mates and you've got to look out for each other. I bring that up here, obviously, because North Queensland was involved. And Paul Green, I believe, played for East, I think, too. And the game was at the SCG. And that was a question coming into, you know, it makes you realise footy is not that important, but it was a question coming into this one. How will the Cowboys respond? It's going to be a very emotional week. And sometimes a team will lift and play inspired, but sometimes it's just naturally distracting, disruptive, and it is hard to find your best form. And I'm not going to put the result down to that either, because I think that would be taking away from the Roosters, and the Roosters were very strong and very comprehensive in this one and built a lead. And I think scoring a very key try just before halftime has kept their noses in front by double digits. But North Queensland, look, you're going to have an off game. They've had a fantastic season. They still sit second on the ladder, but they were uncharacteristic in this one. They let in tries. They haven't been letting in past weeks this season. Like, they let both the Roosters props score barge over tries. They fell for a dummy from Sam Berrills, who went through untouched in the middle of the field off a scrum. So these are tries Cowboys were conceding. They haven't been conceding this season. But you listen to Peyton in that press conference. He talked about almost it's the loss we needed to have. We lost to a finals footy style team and we got a lesson in finals footy. And you rather get that lesson a month out than get it when the stakes are much higher. So just a bit of a blip, I think, for North Queensland. Nothing for them to be too concerned about. While the Roosters, they roll on. They're still way down on the ladder and they're still not 100% even safe to make the finals. But like South Sydney, they are a side that nobody wants to get in front of right now. Definitely look better with Keary at 6, Walker at 7, and with these superstar outside backs that we talk about every week. And then another game that we, you know, retrospect, wish we just had a best bet on, that was the Cronulla Sharks beating West Tigers at Tamworth. And the Sharks won 36-12. We spoke about on Wednesday. Both really think Sharks are going to win comfortably, but we feel a bit square taking the obvious like side that's been flying against a team that's really struggled this year, and West are just off a loss to Newcastle. So who's going to want to play West? We kind of got inside our heads. We shouldn't have overcomplicated it. If we couldn't see West hanging with Cronulla in this game, we should have laid the 13.5. Padonis was telling me there was even an 11.5 available on game day because Talakai was ruled out for the Sharks, but they didn't miss him. They were up 26-6 at halftime. If anything, they were probably disappointed they didn't fully put West Tigers away, but very, very overall comprehensive win by Cronulla, doing everything they needed to do in this one. And they've got the softest draw of the top four sides running into the finals. So they're definitely going to be top four, and they're still pressing for a top two, depending on if North Queensland slip up, and North Queensland do have harder games to come. And as I said before, if the Titans have climbed off the bottom of the ladder, that is at the expense of West Tigers, who I believe are now last, and I don't think they're going to be able to appeal that 2 points that went begging in North Queensland either. So they're going to have to try and find somebody they can beat to end the season to avoid claiming a wooden spoon. This was an interesting one. Saturday night, Brisbane really needed a win. They were off two very disappointing losses and they needed to cement their spot in the finals. Top four might be a bit beyond them, but fifth or sixth, if you can play at Suncorp, and let's just say in the finals, Brisbane could be hosting the likes of a Parramatta, a Sydney Roosters. You much rather have that game in Brisbane. You got a chance. You might not even be as good as those sides, but you got a chance. But you feel like you got to go down to Sydney and play the Roosters or even Parra, or you got to go and play someone like South Sydney. It's going to be much tougher. So really important win for Brisbane. They did what they needed to do in this one. Tristan talked about the spread implications because I think on Wednesday you could lay 17.5 or 18.5. So it's one of those ones where if you like the favourite, find that lowest line that's available and people could lay under 18 points. But if you liked Newcastle, you could have definitely got plus 18.5. And by game day, the line was 20.5. And what do you know, as it often seems to happen, it lands right on the button. And as Tristan's mentioned, Adam Reynolds was a dead eye all night, made every kick until the final kick of the game. I think he just hooks the conversion. And that lands on the sweet spot for punters, where most sharp punters would have won no matter which side you took. And Padonis and I did lean to Brisbane, but again, felt couldn't be a great amount of value taking the team that most likely 90% of punters will be on. We would have been able to lay under 18 points and won. But if you took the start with the Knights, hopefully you definitely got more than 18 and covered that as well. Adam Reynolds back to his best, and he dominated in this one. And Cobbo with a hat trick. You know, this is a guy that obviously had been out for a few weeks over the end of the Origin period, but getting him back into this side is a superstar. And, you know, in the, when, as the big games come, sometimes it's superstar players that can do things others can't, can change a game and can be the difference. And finally, speaking of Cobbo getting a hat-trick, well, it was Talatau Amone that got a hat-trick for the visiting Dragons in a game that went right down to the wire against the Canberra Raiders. And I think I said I liked the Storm, but Podonis liked Penrith, so we didn't go there. And then I did like the Roosters, but Podonis liked Cowboys. But I got to admit when I'm wrong too, because I would have definitely laid the 5.5 with Canberra at home. I thought they'd actually play well despite the absence of Ricky, and I didn't know what was going to come out of St. George, while Podonis liked the Dragons. So when we disagreed, we left it alone, and that saved us there. And I think the Dragons probably deserve to win this game when you consider some of the luck that was involved in the Raiders' tries. They get a very key try off a charge down kick towards the end of the first half that got them in front by a converted try. And then they score another try for Grubber where the Dragons defender slips over and Raiders get in easy. But then it's the Dragons knock on the door coming back. That's the same script we're used to so many times in Raiders games, isn't it? Raiders getting out in front, no excuse not to win, often at home, often against the opponent they should beat, but letting them in the back door. And the Dragons scored two tries. The last one was not converted, which was very costly, but two tries late in the game to pull it within two. And so bizarre and crazy that this game ended in very similar circumstances to the previous meeting between these sides at Jubilee, where the Dragons made a line break. They made about 50 or 60 metres on the final play of the game, down two, and get tackled. And the Raiders laying all over the ruck, and the clock's ticking down. There's about 2 or 3 seconds left, and the Raiders lay all over them. They don't get to play the ball away. Very easily could have been a penalty. I think the one that where the Dragons benefited and beat the Raiders was more blatant. I think this one, I can live with it. And the fact that the same thing happened at the end of both games and each team benefited. I mean, it's kind of karma. It's kind of fair, isn't it? It keeps the Raiders' season alive. That would have been ridiculously brutal if the Raiders let this one slip, because Ricky would be coming back to a team that would be dead. But the Raiders are still alive. Winnable games to end the season on can still keep putting pressure on the Roosters, who have some tougher opponents and could still get in that eighth position if they do win out their games. The Dragons were already probably dead in this game, but you just don't know what they're going to throw up. Sometimes teams that have nothing to play for play without pressure and play carefree and can be quite hard to handle. And in a daytime game, you know, the Dragons played some positive footy. But then you get other sides that are dead and are just looking forward to their Bali trip or whatever. And they're just not exerting enough energy or force to compete with the side that really wants it. And that was like Manly in the game after this one, but I already touched on that. So that's our recap for round 22, special week. I apologize again that we didn't come to you live, but I explained why. So we've had a great weekend. I hope you guys didn't mind that little story at the start. And always gamble responsibly. Like, we should have been more responsible, but as I explained, that was just a little portion of our haul that we were able to pull in at the Titans game. So we've had a great weekend. And hopefully we can do it again soon. Plenty more occasions and involve plenty more of you guys that tune in, because we do really appreciate you. And Podonis and I are going to be back on Wednesday, usual time, after having looked at the round 23 slate to try and find you some more winners and just keep this positive form rolling through as we approach the finals and as the games get more and more important. Have a great week until then, guys. See you Wednesday, and leggo.